Okay, everyone. Well, thanks for being here, and we will call this meeting to order. And the first thing on our agenda is reading of the spring 2012 business meeting minutes. And I'll give it over to our secretary, Gabe Griffith.
Thank you, Donna. I think next year I'm going to submit a resolution that Jeff can't pull his own name for door prizes.
I'll second that. All in favor? Oh.
I just have to get it past the resolutions chair. The only problem is I have to get it past the resolutions chair. Okay.
We can arrange for that.
Should we just do it as a constitutional amendment?
Oh, that way it'll stick. I like that.
Okay, enough fun. Moving on to the business meeting minutes. Spring 2012 business meeting minutes of the California Council of the Blind, Burlingame SFO Crown Plaza Hotel. Friday, April 13th. Credentials report. Pam Pology gave the credentials report. Pam read the chapters that were seated and then those who were not. The affiliates and chapters that were not seated were Antelope Valley, Butte County, Coachella Valley, Compton, Greater San Joaquin, High Desert, Inland Empire, San Bernardino, and San Mateo. Pam tried to seat as many chapters as possible. She will be upholding deadlines beginning in the fall. It was moved and seconded to adopt the credentials report. The motion passed unanimously. And that was the only business that I saw on the Friday night session. So now we are moving to Saturday, April 14th. Or I think that's supposed to be Sunday the 15th, actually. President Donna Pomerantz called the meeting to order. Minutes. Jeff Tom read the fall 2011 business minutes. It was moved and seconded to approve the minutes. The minutes were amended to include the names of chapters that were not seated and including titles of resolutions. The motion passed as amended. Treasurer's report. Peter Pardini gave the treasurer's report. Peter discussed the balance sheet ending February 29th, 2012. The total liability and equity was $1,094,111. Peter then discussed the budget report for the period December 31st, 2011. The total income was $184,637. The total expenses were $269,027. The difference was $79,917. When other income was included, CCB had a net loss of over $115,000. Peter finally read the 2012 proposed budget that the board had approved. It was moved and seconded to approve the treasurer's report as read. The motion passed unanimously. Constitution and bylaws. Roger Peterson gave the Constitution, gave the committee report. Jerry Consular, the committee chair, was not able to attend. Roger had Jeff Tom read the proposed constitutional amendment that would change CCB conventions from two a year to one annual convention. And somebody has a cell phone ringing next to me. Roger discussed other possible amendments that the committee is considering. The proposed amendment that Jeff read was only for reading purposes. There was no discussion. It was moved and seconded to approve the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Resolutions. Jeff Tom read the resolutions. Resolution 2011-A1 was withdrawn. This resolution dealt with SB 198, which was a bill that dealt with autonomous vehicles. Resolution 2012-A2 had to do with judicial diversity. Resolution 2011, I think these are supposed to be 2012, I'm sorry, folks. Resolution 2012-A3 was the thank you resolution to the volunteers. Resolution 2012-A4 was a, oh no, these are 2011, it's supposed to be B, not A though. I knew I had a mistake here. Okay, so these are resolutions 2000B, and we're up to B4, which was thank you resolution to BART. Resolution 2011B5 was a thank you resolution to the hotel staff. It was moved and seconded to approve the resolutions committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Other committee reports. Artist Bazin reported that the membership committee is looking at other times than a breakfast to have a meeting at convention. They also want to make sure that each chapter has a couple of representatives on their email list. Roger Peterson reported that there was a hearing and vision impairment meeting. They talked about ALD systems and other equipment. Mitch Pomerantz reported on the Employment Assistance Committee. He reported on no interest loans that are available. Elena Thomason reported on the results of the pledge drive for Mutstrut that was taken on Friday evening. Kathy Skivers reported on the efforts of the History Committee and asked people to contact her if they have back issues of the Blind Californian or other CCB publications. Pam Metz is chairing the Domestic Violence and Hate Crimes Committee. She asked anyone who is interested in joining the committee to contact her. They would like to put on a self-defense seminar at a future convention. Jean Lozano gave a convention committee report. He asked for items people would like to see at future conventions and thanked everyone who worked on the event applications. Gene asked for ideas for the joint CAT and CCCLV presentation. Pam Pology, chair of the Credentials Committee, offered her assistance to anyone who needs assistance with completing the credentials form. Pam also gave the nominating committee report. The slate of people chosen was President Donna Pomerantz, First Vice President Jean Lozano, Treasurer Peter Pardini, board members Lena Bandy, Vince Calderon, David Hanlon, David Jackson. Jeff Tom thanked the Governmental Affairs Committee and discussed Capitol Day. Donna Pomerantz gave a short publications committee report. There is still no chair for that committee. The Seniors with Vision Loss Committee is interested in recruiting members. Affiliate reports. Judy Wilkinson gave a report on the Orientation Center alumni group. They have many members, and she invited anyone who used to be a member and is no longer one to rejoin. Old business. There was no old business. New business. Mitch Pomerantz asked everyone to recognize the work that Marlena Lieberg did over the weekend. Marlena thanked everyone for her experiences this weekend and for inviting her. She has also been helping the web streaming team. Public comment. Pam Acker. This is her first convention, and she has felt very welcome. Judy Wilkinson mentioned an article that has been written on the Unemployment Assistance Committee and offered to put that article in the BC. Beryl Brown wanted to know how to get hold of the, quote, What Blindness Isn't CD. Pamology. Conventions are a great place to help other people. Linda O'Neill wanted to know where the next convention would be. Preston, who I didn't catch a last name for on there, wanted to know how people contact the Social Security group for assistance. Steve Fort expressed appreciation for the job the Credentials Committee did. The next convention will be at the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel from November 1st through the 4th. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the conference and convention. The motion passed unanimously. Respectfully submitted, Griffith, CCB Secretary.
Okay, do we have...
And before we take a motion, Madam President, is there any way I could get a glass of water up here? Okay, it was not announced at the meeting. It was only Preston, so I didn't know the last
Preston
name.
Preston Moses.
Preston Moses. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion to second? Do we have any discussion? Who calls for the floor? Okay, I heard the lady first. And who is that soft-spoken lady in the back? Is that Linda? Linda. I heard Linda.
I'm coming with the mic. Oh,
I couldn't hear you. So you're soft spoken because you're very
okay.
Quiet.
Okay. Just a little correction. The gentleman's name, Preston, is Preston Moses.
Yes, we.
Yeah, got that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
And Frank Welty.
Coming.
I believe that since this was the minutes from the spring convention, that the resolution numbers should begin with A, not B.
Yeah, you know, you're right, Frank. Sorry, I realized that as I was trying to correct myself. I shouldn't be reading these when half asleep because I don't know what I'm doing when I do that. But you're right, they are 2012A. I had written 2011, so that's where I got myself confused. But they are, Frank is right, they are 2012A and then the numbers, and I will make that correction and make sure that they're that way.
Who seeks the floor?
Steve Fort.
With regard to my appreciation with regard to the Credentials Committee, it was specifically her use of Braille that I was complimenting her on. I don't know if you wanted to add just a little note about the use of Braille in with regard to that item in the minutes.
Steve, would you be happy if I put what we did and just add a note at the end, and for the use of Braille? It is done.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. As amended, sorry. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, one moment. Okay, the next item on our agenda, and if you're not ready, would be our treasurer's report. But I hear him still getting situated, so why don't we have a door prize? All right. I hear the rustling of papers.
Come on, Don, we need
the board. Oh, I have mine right here. All right, here comes Ed with a door prize. Okay, we have a wicker basket of Christmas ornaments, and why don't we put a cash prize in there with it? $25 cash prize. California Council Citizens with Low Vision. Let's have, oh, we need to keep it away from Jeff. Let's have Gabe draw. Oh, that's right. He can't pull his name again.
Is Jeff's name out of there now?
So he, there you go. Yolanda Escandon, are you in the room? Nope. Marie Herrera, are you in the room? She is. I heard a little, I'm here. That was Louie.
No,
uh-oh, I'm afraid.
I heard an I'm here.
If that was Louie, oh my. All right, Mr. Treasurer, are you ready or should we do one more door prize?
I'm ready, Donna. Thank you very much.
He's ready. All right. We'll give it over to our treasurer, Peter Pardini.
Thank you very much. I'm just going to give an abbreviated report here today. Again, all these financial statements are available through the CCB office in alternative formats, Braille large print, and on audio cassette tape. I'm going to begin with the balance sheet. As of September 30th, 2012, total assets are in the amount of $1,082,615. We have liabilities in the amount of $9,081. Equity in the amount of $1,073,533. Our total liabilities and equity equals $1,082,615. Basically, for the period January 1st to September 30th, 2012, the total income for the California Council of the Blind is $160,960. And the total expenses are $153,329. Leaving the difference between expenses and income and expenses is $7,631 for the period January 1st to September 30th, 2012. We had income from our investment accounts in the amount of $71,364. And basically, if you take the income plus the income from our investment accounts less total expenses, the net income for this period is $78,996. And this concludes the report, the treasurer's report. Do you have time to take a couple questions?
Okay. Or Peter is asking if anyone has any questions before we vote on the report. Frank Welty has a question.
You mentioned that as of September 30th, we had a net income excluding expense, excluding investments of about $7,000. Do you anticipate then that if the budget continues or if things follow as expected, that we will then have a net surplus this year?
Probably not, because we have convention expenses for the fall 2012 convention that have not been included in these figures because we haven't received the hotel bill. So we'll probably run for the period, our normal revenue, we normally receive most of our revenue in the first 6 months of the year. So probably for the year we will be having a net operating loss.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Who seeks the floor?
Dirk Neihart.
Our income was $100,000. I'm not sure that's enough to cover Mitch's bar bill.
But the CCB does not pay for Mitch's bar bill. It's his responsibility.
Yeah, no.
My question is, what's a
We can
source.
Please have order, okay. If we can have order.
What's the source of our three biggest sources of income in the last year?
They would be basically, they would be REW and Associates. Our vehicle donation program, Sanderson Group, and our money that we receive from convention income.
Any other questions?
Come on to Mike.
Back to all of them.
Dirk, do you want to?
She wanted to say it on the mic so it gets recorded.
Oh, thank you, Treasurer Pardini. I hope our gratitude gets sent back to all of them for their kindness and donation. Another question is, how many were donations of less than $50?
I don't really have figure on at my discretion right now, Dirk.
Yeah, we don't have that specificity at this point, but I do want to let you know. I do want to let you know, if we can have quiet, please.
Take your phone outside, please.
I do want to let you know, for those who might not have been at the board meeting, we have a chair for our team, thank you. And that chair is Linda Perrell, and we have other board members who have volunteered to assist in getting those thank yous out to people who donate to us, personal calls and things like that. So we are definitely moving forward continually on the thank yous.
Madam President, move acceptance of the Treasurer's report.
Mitch moves second, then a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Treasurer, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, we completed our 2011 audit, and we had a very clean audit, which was very good. We have a wonderful auditing firm that really likes CCB and really provides us a lot of necessary information. They do a wonderful job. They're very easy to work with, and we're really pleased with the firm that we use. Very thorough. So basically, I'll give you a couple summary figures for the 2011. We had total revenue in the amount of $320,320. This is for the period ending December 31st. We have total expenses in the amount for the period in December 31st, $343,826. So the change in between the two figures was a negative $21,493. So basically, we broke even. Roughly, I mean, we're a little short, but for the period ending December 31st, 2011. And this concludes my report on the audit.
Okay. No. This is the audit report. It's not an official part of the treasurer's report. Does anyone have any questions on the report of the audit? Okay. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Continue, Peter.
Basically, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Ed Branch for all his assistance that he provides me regarding our accounting. And I'm not sure if you wanted me to mention anything about the mud strut that we're the upcoming mud strut.
You can.
I don't really have any more regarding the treasurer's report.
Okay. Okay. I believe, and Roger, let me know if I'm wrong, but folks have heard about the mud strut and the specifics and such throughout the rest of the, you know, the previous days of convention. Is it appropriate to report on it here so it can be reflected in the business meeting or not? Yes. Yes, in yesterday's. Okay.
I'm already done. I was just saying that we don't need to repeat stuff because we were actually in a business meeting yesterday when we had the report, because that right after that was the, you know, the Constitution stuff.
Yes.
So I would just suggest to the secretary to be sure to include that in the minutes for the business meeting for this year.
Okay. So noted. Thank you. Our next report is from the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and I would like to introduce to you Gabe Griffith, who is everybody's awake. Okay, Gabe.
Sorry, the Constitution Bylaws Chair was busy being secretary for a second.
I think they have a pill for that.
I'm sure there's probably an app for that. The committee report today is going to be fairly short. I'd like to start by thanking the committee member. Well, first, I want to thank Donna again for putting me in this position, and hopefully I can do a decent job for everyone. I'd like to thank the committee member that was here at the convention. We had a pretty good meeting on Friday afternoon, Roger Peterson. The meeting Friday was just Roger and I kind of talking about the amendment that we voted on yesterday and how to move forward. So, thank everyone for good questions yesterday and some good discussion. And with the results of yesterday's vote, the committee will be busy over the next few months. As I stated yesterday, going through the Constitution, determining all the areas that are going to be affected, and beginning to come up with some proposed ways of enacting everything. And we will have a more detailed report at the spring 2013 convention.
Okay, thank you. And I'm pleased that Jerry Consler, previous chair, is wishing to continue to be a member of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And I think that I would ask the CCB family to keep Jerry in your thoughts and prayers. He's having some health struggles right now, and we need to keep him in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, I was remiss in not mentioning Jerry, and I am definitely pleased that Jerry is going to remain an active part of this committee, and we'll definitely be relying on his and Roger's knowledge of the Constitution as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you.
And Madam President, I believe that concludes the what I would refer to as the second part of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report for the weekend.
Okay. All those in favor of accepting the report of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee signify by saying aye. Oh, so Jeff is saying what?
Gabe said it first.
I said, don't we need a motion to vote on first?
Move acceptance.
Second.
Okay, we move acceptance. Do we have discussion, folks? No questions. Okay. All those in favor signified by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I don't know if I should have Jeff and Gabe next to each other.
So moving back to secretary for a second, do I have to reflect all three votes on that motion?
No. But we do reflect that we make a resolution hereby stating that Jeff and Gabe may not sit next to each other in any formal meetings of the convention. Oh, and we have seconds. Great.
Let's see. I'm not allowed to sit by Jeff, Mitch, or Robert now. Is there anybody that will sit by me, please?
We're going to have to find a nice special corner for you. Yes, isolation booth.
The guide dogs won't even sit next to him.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
I move that we move on to resolutions now.
I actually move that we have a door prize before we move on to resolutions.
That sounds even better.
All righty. Let's see. We have a bag. A bag of kitchen utensils of all kinds from the... we don't know who the donation of the kitchen items came from. We also have a $25 cash prize from California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. Let's have Peter draw that one. Let's see who the lucky winner will be. Dennis Jones? Are you in the room? Dennis Jones. Nope. Alice McGrath, are you in the room? Yay!
Yay!
And you see the microphone with the stand here, Jeff?
Yeah.
Congratulations. And Alice, I think you should give the kitchen utensils to Rob, and you can have the $25 cash. Okay. I will... give the microphone over to our Resolutions Committee Chair, Jeff Tom, for the resolutions.
Thank you. So I'm going to thank my committee first because always if I don't do it at the beginning, then I forget somebody or miss somebody. So I'm going to thank my committee first, my vice chair who did the first session for me, which I couldn't attend. I want to thank Lena Dawes for that, and Gabe, who helped in so many ways, including with the technology and getting things moving. Donna, Dirk, Charles Navarrete, Linda Perel, Robert Wendt, and I also want to thank other people that aren't on the committee but that were attending. Oh, I didn't say Gene. Yeah, see, I knew I'd forget somebody. I thought I wrote everybody down, and I didn't write Gene down. Okay. And then people that are not on the committee who were in attendance, I know that Mitch was at our first section, Steve Mendelson, Dan Smith, and there were others who attended, and I was proud to see that. And I want to thank all of you that did attend because it really is instructive, I think, to be there. We had a lot of good help this time. So, okay, We have... the snacks were great. They were great. Okay, we have five substantive resolutions and two thank you resolutions to do today. Resolution 2012B1 relates to guide dogs in home training and follow-up services. Whereas, under California law, the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, Guide Dog Board, has exclusive authority in California to issue licenses to operate schools for the training of guide dogs and for the instruction of persons who are blind or who have low vision in the use of guide dogs. And whereas, guide dog schools in California are authorized to provide a guide dog to provide guide dog teams with campus-based training, in-home training, and follow-up training in the graduate's home environment. And whereas, because the Guide Dog Board is only authorized to provide licenses to guide dog schools located in the state of California, a guide dog school outside the state is prohibited from providing California residents with in-home training or follow-up services in the handler's home environment. And whereas the International Guide Dog Federation, IGDF, certifies guide dog schools that meet prescribed standards for the provision of instruction to guide dog teams. And whereas, for a variety of reasons, many California guide dog handlers attend schools outside the state and may, at some time, need or desire home-based training and or follow-up services from an out-of-state school. And whereas guide dog handlers who elect to use the services of an out-of-state school should not be prohibited from receiving in-home training or follow-up services from any IGDF certified school. Now, therefore, be it resolved, I'll read it the first time through, by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this fourth day of November at the Marriott Del Mar Hotel in the, I have to change city because we found out that we are in the county of San Diego. We have a Del Mar is an unincorporated area. So let me go back here and read it again. Resolved by the California Council of Blind and Convention Assembled this fourth day of November at the Marriott Del Mar Hotel in the county of San Diego, California, that this organization seek legislation to allow guide dog schools outside California that meet certification standards of the International Guide Dog Federation, in effect on January 1, 2014, to provide in-home training and follow-up services to California residents. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? Frank Welty seeks the floor. Okay.
Perhaps I'm mistaken, but as I understand the regulations as they currently stand, I do not believe that out-of-state guide dog schools are prohibited from providing in-home training. What is required, as I understand the regulations, and again, if somebody who's looked at them more recently can correct me on this, is that trainers must be licensed in the state of California, and that guide dog schools, regardless of their location, may get their trainers licensed in the state of California if they so choose.
Well, that may be technically correct, but it's pretty difficult for a school outside the state to, you know, essentially get their trainers licensed in California. So although number one, the guide dog board does not appear to be rigorously enforcing this prohibition right now, number two, there really is a difficulty, and in fact it is our understanding that the Seeing Eye is not electing to even try to, and other schools are not electing to try to deal with this prohibition, because it is really a problem for them to somehow, you know, deal with the regulations and get their, trainers licensed in this state.
Who seeks floor? Mitch.
The author, the original author, was Margie Donovan, with my assistance, and I think what this seeks to address is the fact that these schools, which are internationally recognized, are certified as a body that meets certain standards, that the only way their trainers can legally come into the state of California is if they are licensed. I think this approach clarifies the situation and removes the disincentive for schools to provide follow-up services that are located outside of California.
Ken Metz.
Thank you. Actually, it was about 2 or 3 years ago when the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind did, in fact, send a letter to all the guide dog schools throughout the country and notified them that in order for them to do any training in California, be it follow-up training or any home training, they did have to have a licensed trainer doing that, licensed in California. This actually has been in the law for over 60 years. It has never been instituted or enforced, let me change it to enforced, until about 2 or 3 years ago when the state board decided that they had to do that. Whether it was for the state to get their little bit of money, and it is very little, really, so I don't know that that would really have been the incentive. But at the same time, there are schools out there that are small enough schools, even though they are under the International Federation of Guide Dogs, and so they're certified as far as having standards, but some of them just can't afford to have these trainers constantly licensed. The practice, as I said, has been on the books. It has never been enforced, and all of a sudden the board decided to do that. So what we're really seeking is the opportunity for people, for our guide dog handlers to, or potential guide dog handlers, to decide where they wish to go to get a guide dog, and to give them the freedom to do that without having to be told by the state of California that you could only do so if that trainer from the other school from outside the state is licensed.
Roger Peterson.
To say nothing.
Okay.
Until he's on the
mic. Ed's checking it. He turned it on.
The mic's not nope. Working.
There we go.
There we are.
Roger is on. Go ahead, Roger.
Don't touch it anymore. You know, it strikes me, we have a whole lot of debate in California about what regulations are necessary and useful and which ones aren't. And it strikes to me that this is evidence that the regulations are useless and, in fact, harmful, and that maybe the guide dog board is useless and harmful.
It's not germane to the...
Well, you know, there are people looking for things to cut. So.
Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff, did you want to?
No, I was just...
Oh, you're just messing around again.
No.
So disordered.
Well, sort of.
Okay.
It's not the issue. Whoa, I guess.
Okay.
It's just not the issue before us, Roger, is all.
I heard someone call for the question. Okay, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Ayes have it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will go on to resolution 2012B2. This is endorsement of Anne Sullivan Macy Act. Whereas by her groundbreaking achievements in the education of Helen Keller, Anne Sullivan Macy became an iconic figure in the education of students with disabilities. And whereas her work demonstrates the role that effective teaching can play in unlocking the potential of students with visual impairments. And whereas effective teaching requires appropriate instruction and services. And whereas the Anne Sullivan Macy Act, whereas the Anne Sullivan Macy Act proposed legislation is intended to provide specific direction as to how services should be delivered to students who are blind or have low vision. And whereas at the heart of this bill is the expanded core curriculum, which provides a blueprint for the comprehensive range of services that that children who are blind or who are visually impaired need if they are to be successful. And whereas this proposed legislation, which can be found at www.afb.org/MacyAct, has been endorsed by numerous organizations of and for people who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas the Anne Sullivan Macy Act proposed legislation not only gives recognition to the groundbreaking work of Anne Sullivan Macy, but also provides excellent guidance on the education of children who are blind or visually impaired. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization enthusiastically endorses the Anne Sullivan Macy Act proposed legislation. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Foundation for the Blind in order to communicate our endorsement of this proposed legislation. And be it further resolved that the California Council of the Blind work toward gaining the support for the provisions of this legislation by all this proposed legislation, excuse me, by all member, In this case, proposed is not in there. Resolve the California Council of the Blind work toward gaining the support for the provisions of this legislation by all members of the California Congressional Delegation when it is introduced, either as standalone legislation or as part of the authorization of other education legislation. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Tuan, the microphone is coming. Please wait. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jeff, I heard at least two or three occasions in the whereas section, you mentioned low vision impaired. I don't know if that language makes sense. I'd rather use the word low vision or visually impaired.
I don't think I did, Tuan. It's possible. I think I one place we said low vision. And that was intentional. The committee wanted to use low vision in that particular place.
Okay.
I don't think I used the term you were alluding to. Anything's possible, though. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I could do almost anything.
But I heard it very clear. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly. We appreciate people asking to make sure, to check us on our word usage. So.
Okay, I just want to clarify. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Mitch?
We have a habit in California of drafting and passing resolutions and sending them on to the national organization. This is a little bit of a reverse osmosis here. We were approached several months ago by AFB about a resolution of this nature. It was passed, or a similar resolution was passed at the National Conference and Convention, and we were asked to forward it on to ACB affiliates such as California. And I totally forgot until I attended the Illinois Convention a month ago, and Ray Campbell, a director, had it introduced and ultimately passed in Illinois. So what AFB is looking for, they're looking for as many state affiliates as possible to pass these resolutions and get them on to them, and of course have their congressional delegations involved in getting this legislation passed. And I will in advance thank CCB for their support.
Who seeks the floor? Keith Johnson.
I have a question pertaining to what the meaning of a expanded core curriculum is.
I'm happy to address that a little bit, Madam Chair. Okay, and then Mitch can, I think he also may want. But the expanded core curriculum covers a variety of things. I'll just mention a few of them. But it is basically those elements which are not appropriate, are not normally addressed in the regular classroom because they relate specifically to many of the needs of our blind or low vision students. They might include, for example, assistive technology, transition needs, can relate to physical education, and Keith, you're obviously aware of many of these things being in the education system. So that's sort of
why I asked that question is because when I attended the that thing a couple of years ago down Riverside, where they actually took the VI guidelines and broke the and added the expanded core curriculum because of what you just said. So there's actually the core curriculum and the expanded core curriculum dealing with today's present visually impaired child.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked the question, because I don't hear the word core curriculum as well as this expanded core curriculum in this one. So if I don't know if you need to add the other part or just leave it the way it is. Okay, that's all I want to know, because I was involved in that. Gee, I can't remember, it's over a year ago, whatever it was.
Absolutely.
And in fact, I don't know if they're still writing it, because they sent it to the legal people, and that takes forever to do that one. So anyhow, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Is that Bernice? Bernice Kandarian?
Just a point of information. Customarily, we say who submitted the resolutions, and it doesn't seem to be happening this morning. Could we get that?
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm not going to do it. Thank you, Bernice.
Thank you, Bernice.
This actually came from Mitch's suggestion in this case, who asked me to get this done. So thank you. We'll try and remember that.
And
thank you.
Also, our resolution chair did say, although not at the beginning, you're correct, Bernice, that the guide dog board resolution came from Margie Donovan. So we'll state it at the beginning as well. Thank you for the reminder.
Well, it came,
excuse me, I would like order.
Go ahead, Mitch. Go ahead. Mitch really expressed the whole history of it, in a sense, when he got up a few minutes ago.
The resolution was drafted by Mark Reichert at AFB and forwarded on to us.
Thank you, sir. Our folks that use assisted listening devices, you know, it helps.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we need to vote.
Oh, wait,
still.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Mr. Chair, next resolution.
Now we're on resolution, and I may fade out here. I hope I won't, but I'm not supposed to touch that mic, or else you're going to hear me again in a way you won't want to hear. This is resolution 2012-B3, roundabouts from our president and our first vice president. Whereas a roundabout is a circular intersection on which a vehicle may enter into and proceed along the circulatory roadway in a counterclockwise direction around a central island and exit in various directions. And whereas a roundabout thus creates a continuous flow of traffic. And whereas those who support the use of roundabouts view them as creating the necessary traffic flow while slowing down traffic sufficiently to ensure vehicular and pedestrian safety. And whereas pedestrian street crossings at roundabouts have been shown by research to create serious safety hazards for persons who are blind or who have low vision, not only because it is hard to identify the location of the crossings, as they are located off to the side of the pedestrian circulation path around the street or highway, but also because of the difficulty in recognizing when to cross the street due to the traffic flow created by a roundabout. And whereas, at the local, state, and federal levels, persons who are blind or who have low vision continue to advocate for ways to maximize pedestrian safety and access at roundabouts. And where it is important to be able to present to local public works departments, Caltrans, and appropriate federal agencies best practices for maximizing pedestrian safety and access when a roundabout is to be constructed. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urges Caltrans and local public works departments, when it is determined that a roundabout is to be constructed, to use the following guidelines in order to maximize pedestrian safety and access, including the safety of pedestrians who are blind or who have low vision. One, I'm going to go back 1 second so that I, okay. One, there shall be placed on all roundabouts an accessible pedestrian activated signal with a continuous locator tone at each segment of each crosswalk, including when there is a splitter island. Two, at each crosswalk, there shall be placed an accessible pedestrian signal with continuous locator tone immediately adjacent to the curb ramp leading to the crosswalk. Three, landscaping or another method of demarcation shall be used to separate the sidewalk from the vehicular way except at the entrance to the crosswalk. Four, there shall be placed a 36-inch deep detectable warning surface running the full width of the curb ramp or flush transition within the crosswalk markings. With contrast with contrast in resiliency or sound on cane contact and federal yellow coloration at each terminus of each segment of the crosswalk, including when there is a splitter island. Would people like me to read that one again? Because I sort of broke up. I will. Four, there should be placed a 36-inch deep detectable warning surface running the full width of the curb ramp or flush transition within the crosswalk markings. With contrast and resiliency or sound on cane contact and federal yellow coloration at each terminus of each segment of the crosswalk, including when there is a splitter island. Five, there shall be placed a 24-inch wide raised directional surface, sometimes referred to as a bar tile, with contrast in resiliency or sound on cane contact and federal yellow coloration, running perpendicular to the sidewalk and across the entire width of the sloped ramp or flush transition. This directional surface shall terminate immediately adjacent to the backside of the detectable warning surface. 6. All segments of each crosswalk, including when there is a splitter island, shall be raised and have white zebra crosswalk markings. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be shared, when appropriate, with local, state, and federal agencies. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be referred to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2013 National Conference and Convention. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? I heard a Charlene Ellis and then Frank Welty.
Because so many local areas are now trying to put in the roundabouts, in your statement, in your one of your therefore be it resolved, it says when appropriate. I'd like to see if that could, the where appropriate would possibly be stricken and just share this policy or procedure shared with all local, state, and federal agencies.
Madam Chair, if I could respond.
Okay.
The reason that we didn't do that, and if you want to, if you don't agree with this, Charlene, feel free to propose the amendment. But the reason that the committee didn't want to have that very language in there was because the workload that you would put on the president and the staff to send out to every local agency would be enormous. And so, you know, we felt it would be better if a local chapter came to Donna and said, hey, we need some help here. Can you get us this resolution? You know, then we can deal with that. That was sort of the thinking when we discussed this.
I accept that logic, and it also saves costs to the CCB.
Yes, and if a local chapter has, you know, the contact information and name of their officials and contacts us, we will definitely get it out to them. So thank you for your understanding on that.
This is Frank Welty with an inquiry. I have heard the term traffic circles and roundabouts. Are both of those terms synonymous? If not, what is the difference, and why do we specify one over the other in this resolution?
Hold on one second. Hold on, please. Is Jean in the? I know I was wanting to defer to Jean first, since he was one of the co-authors. And you said he stepped out? Okay, he stepped out. Let me go ahead and recognize Charlene to give a quick difference between the two.
The difference, as when we were dealing with him in San Diego, is a roundabout does not have a traffic signal involved in it. And a traffic circle does. Also, traffic circles are larger.
Thank you. Very good. Very concise. Keith.
Pasadena attempted to put one in.
Yes, they did.
On the intersection of, at the intersection, I think it was Los Rios.
Well, we don't have to give the specificity, but
well,
yes.
Well, anyhow, they attempted to put one in a few years ago, and actually they took it out. And because
we were quite loud,
and because it didn't seem to be appropriate, because people didn't like it. A friend of mine told me about it, and she actually drove me through it and told me what they attempted to do, and what they did do, and then they just put it back to a regular four-point intersection. Actually, if you really want to know, it's Guman Armor and Los Robles.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And thank you.
We're on B4. This is on federal yellow. And this is from, I believe it would be several people, Dan Smith, Gene Lozano, and you two as well, Donna? Okay. And CCCLV, I am told. And I'm sorry? Okay. Whereas about 90% of people with visual impairments have some usable vision. And whereas it is essential that people with low vision be able to maximize their visual access to environmental information for their safety and mobility. And whereas, in order to maximize this access, it is necessary that there be at least a 70% visual contrast between architectural elements used to promote access and their immediate surrounding surfaces, and that the most effective coloration be used. And whereas physiologically, yellow is at the peak of the human photopic luminosity function. I agree with that as well. In fact, when I'm reading bedtime stories, I always use those words. Okay. Whereas, physiologically, we're going to repeat that because I hadn't finished the clause. Whereas physiologically, yellow is at the peak of the human photopic luminosity function, and thus is the color that appears brightest to the human eye. And whereas yellow is distinctive in its color appearance, so that it is easily recognized, and whereas, when using a detectable warning surface or directional texture, yellow is likely to be distinct and easily differentiated from its immediate background, and whereas this is because yellow, or colors close to it, are rarely used for walking surfaces, and whereas, in addition, alternative colors such as black or white are more likely to lose conspicuousness against certain commonplace backgrounds, such as walking surfaces. No, sorry. Against certainly commonplace backgrounds, as walking surfaces are most commonly of neutral colors. And whereas yellow is an unusual color to occur in one's environment and almost invariably denotes risk and the need for caution. And whereas yellow denotes caution internationally and nationally, including being recognized by the American National Standards Institute, ANSI, and the International Standards Organization, ISO. And whereas the Federal Highway Administration's Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices for Streets and Highways contains a color code, A8, that associates yellow with, quote, general warning. And whereas yellow is visually detectable from a greater distance than any other color, and whereas uniform standards promote maximum safety and mobility for pedestrians, especially those with low vision, and whereas extensive research into the use of different shades of yellow and other colors for detective warning and directional surfaces indicates that of all the different colors tested, a yellow-orange hue, known as, quote, federal yellow, unquote, affords persons with low vision the greatest ability to visually ascertain the boundary between the pedestrian pathway and the vehicular area because it provides a high level of conspicuity for a given level of luminance contrast. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization supports utilization of federal yellow with at least 70% visual contrast with the surrounding surface as the contrast and exclusive color to be used for detectable warning and directional surfaces at all curb ramps, flush transitions, pedestrian islands, transit platform edges, and reflecting pools, as well as striping for the nosing of stairs. And be it further resolved that this organization transmit these recommendations to local, state, and federal agencies when appropriate to ensure consistency and standardization in the use of these architectural elements in the built environment. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be submitted to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2013 National Conference and Convention. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? And who seeks the floor? Is it, well, go ahead and ask your question.
Now, what contrasting colors would be appropriate with the federal yellow?
What contrasting colors would be appropriate?
Yeah, if you're going to use that, let's say, in a hallway or some sort of classroom situation.
Okay, where's Judge Sumowski? I want that phone.
That's one of those alien colors.
We need that. Now, so Gene did definitely leave, correct? He hasn't come back? Okay.
I'm just curious about that because I won't go into it, but no, what would be a contrasting color?
Well,
if we're going to...
Right, what is the background?
I mean, yeah.
Currently... you know, currently you have your sidewalks that are...
No, but I mean, if you're going to use this, and let's say in a hallway...
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't have to use
that's,
it in a
hallway. That's okay. Not what the resolution is speaking to.
Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about...
We're
talking about exterior stuff.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, inside the stairways. And,
yeah.
And let me have... That's right, Dan, you're still here. You're one of the authors of the resolution. It could be used on the stair striping for stairways, and there is a percentage, you know, that is done. The federal yellow is a color that best stands out, and research has documented it. Dan, I don't know if you wish to speak on that at all. Okay, let's give it over to Dan. Because he was one of the authors. Dan, I'm glad you're still here.
The reason that the federal yellow is being used is because it contrasts with almost all other pavements and other surfaces. So it provides the contrast that's needed.
Okay. Wait a minute. Wait. One more question, Keith, and let's see if anyone else... Okay, Frank Welty after Keith, but go ahead, Keith.
Well, I just want to make a comment. Could this resolution be sent also to schools?
Well,
I mean, that's a suggestion. You don't have to do it, but I was just suggesting that.
If the committee would wish to adopt that friendly amendment, I would wish for them to put in the same clause that we did, officials when appropriate or schools when appropriate. In other words,
we could make it local governments because schools are all, you know, school districts and mm-hmm. things like that. So we could make it
mm-hmm.
local entities or some word like that.
And again, when you know, the same language that was put in the previous resolution. Okay, Frank Welty.
I happen to be a big fan of yellow, but I'm just wondering, does the color yellow present any problems for people experiencing color blindness in terms of their ability to detect it?
Can I give that over to Dan? Red and green.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about color blindness, but I do know that generally the colors that are most affected are red and green.
Yes.
And I think that yellow, in that regard, because it, even if it would not be easily detectable to someone with color blindness as yellow, it could still be detected as a different color and a different surface that would, it's, I think, the best color that we can come up with that fits the total spectrum of people with vision loss.
Madam Chair, isn't, and far be it for me to say anything about low vision, because I am definitely not. But isn't one of the reasons why federal, the orange-yellow is better than the, you know, yellow-green, relate to color blindness?
That's exactly the issue. And Dan, you explained it very well. Thank you so much. Any, he is wonderful. Any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Okay, this is our last substantive resolution. This is number 5. Number 6 actually related to structured negotiations. It was a committee resolution, and it was withdrawn. So now we're on number 5, which is inaccessible self-service kiosks. And this came to us through our president, Donna Pomerantz. So, whereas the mission of the California Council of the Blind is to increase the independence, security, equality of opportunity, and quality of life for all Californians who are blind and visually impaired, and whereas businesses and governmental institutions have increasingly moved away from having staff provide services and information to customers, patients, students, and others, and instead use touchscreen self-service kiosks to provide those services and information. Am I on the mic, people? Okay, thank you. And whereas touchscreen self-service kiosks that lack voice output and tactile controls are inaccessible to and unusable by people who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas touchscreen self-service kiosks either deprive people who are blind or visually impaired from having the same information and services as are available to the general public, or necessitate that people who are blind or visually impaired become dependent upon others to interact with the kiosks on their behalf. And whereas this reliance upon the assistance of others often places their private, sensitive, and confidential personal, medical, or financial information at risk and compromises their dignity, safety, and independence. And whereas accessible self-service kiosks do exist and are in current use, now therefore be it resolved that this organization explore approaches to ensuring that medical, financial, and other facilities that use kiosks for check-in, prescription ordering, or other information gathering are required to install devices that are fully accessible to persons who are blind or visually impaired. And be it further resolved that this organization educate both the private and public sectors as to the economic and technological feasibility of the accessibility of self-service kiosks. And be it further resolved, a copy of this resolution be submitted to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2013 National Conference and Convention. And the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those, is there discussion? Bernice?
Jeff, was there any reason why you didn't add the airline kiosks in this? Is that under another entity or something?
It's all inclusive with the language.
Yeah, it's just that that's a pretty important one. I thought it would
be good. I don't know that there's a good reason. I can't, it's a good question you raise. I'm not sure quite how we would. Do you mean to put it in the resolved clause or in the...
Give the examples of medicine and whatever. It's in the whereas.
Figure in the resolved or the whereas, Bernice?
Whereas.
I'm sorry?
Whereas.
Okay, thank you. Let me see if I can find that.
Yeah, it isn't in there.
Is there a reason why it's not? Because I think it's a pretty common one.
It is a pretty common one. And as the maker of the resolution, as the author of the resolution, I didn't have the information at hand and mm-hmm. didn't want any conflict if there mm-hmm. were other, if there were any other suits or anything going on.
Yeah.
But just a second. But it's it's inclusive in a sense, but not directly cited because I didn't know that, you know. And we'll recognize Mitch.
Well, two quick things. One, I think when we were first talking about this resolution, it came up in the context of medical facilities, because more and more medical facilities and pharmacies are having folks get their prescriptions and provide other information via those inaccessible touchscreen kiosks. So I think that's why, Bernice, it was in the context of you know, the medical arena. The airline kiosks, because the ADA is in force up to the ticket counter, and the Air Carrier Access Act, essentially, once you leave the ticket counter, the ADA would apply here. So you could theoretically, if you wished, include airline kiosks.
I have no problem with doing that. I was just stating, you know, the reason that I didn't specifically include it as the author. But I have no problem doing that if you wish that to be one of the examples specified in there.
I'm trying to...
Hold on 1 second.
I'm just trying to find where mm-hmm. it would go.
I know they just added another level of kiosks to do some other function at the airports, and I just want to make sure we stay on their tails.
Okay, this is the clause, and let's see if this is the one you're interested in. We can work out an amendment. Whereas this reliance upon, and maybe this isn't the clause, so let's see. Whereas this reliance upon the assistance of others often places their private, sensitive, and confidential personal, medical, or financial information at risk. Is that the clause you're talking about? Okay, you're talking about the one up above.
The one that gives several examples of actual locations of kiosks. Where
businesses and governmental institutions have increasingly moved away from having staff provide services and information to customers, patients, students, and others, and instead use touchscreen self-service kiosks to provide those services and information. Touchscreen self-service kiosks that lack voice output are inaccessible. That isn't it. And actually,
I wish I remembered what clause it was. I know which one she's talking about. It's one of the resolves. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's actually in the resolve that you'd have to put it. Okay. It's that this organization explore approaches to ensuring that medical, financial, and other facilities. We could say airport travel would be a good word, because it would also apply to train and other things.
Yes.
So we'll just put in travel as the first one. Is that okay? Donna,
yes.
You're the make the...
Absolutely. I that's very friendly.
Okay. Travel, medical, financial, and other facilities. Okay.
Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. That resolution's adopted.
Okay, we have two more resolutions. And these are our thank you resolutions.
Hold on, we're doing the thank you.
This is number 7, and this relates to our conference and convention volunteers.
Can we have order?
And I'd just like to say on a personal note, I don't know who got all the great volunteers, whether... You know, to congratulate the folks in San Diego or the pioneers, didn't they great volunteers this time? I was thrilled. This is number 7. Whereas the outstanding efforts of the volunteers at the fall 2012 CCB conference and convention helped to make this gathering an outstanding success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, et cetera, that this organization expresses its profound appreciation to each and every volunteer who participated in this conference and convention, and the committee heartily recommends do pass. And I so move.
Carries, and I'm not on. Oh, there I go. Okay.
Okay. That's now, okay. I have similar good sentiments for a lot of the very helpful hotel staff that we have here. And this is B8, our final resolution. Whereas the staff of the Del Mar Marriott Hotel, it was there, I just didn't read it, has worked tirelessly to make the 2012 Fall CCB Conference and Convention a resounding success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, etc., that this organization thanks and commends the Del Mar Marriott Hotel staff for their outstanding work. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The resolution is adopted. Okay, folks, before we do the committee reports.
We need a
motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have a motion to accept the report of the resolutions committee? We have many people moving throughout the room. Wonderful. Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I wish to also give a hearty thank you to our Resolutions Committee Chair and the Resolutions Committee. There is so much work that is done at the convention in what I used to refer to affectionately as the Resolutions Cave. This group is so busy and is so hardworking on behalf of this organization, and I want us all to give a huge applause to the Resolutions Committee and its chair. Now, what I would say is, go ahead, Jeff. Did you want to say?
No. It's just Gabe and I.
You know what? I'm starting to sigh. Oh, no, that's not good. Peter said Mitch is rubbing off on me. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, before I ask committee chairs to give reports, whoever wishes to give reports, and or possibly new chairs if they wish to say a few words, while they're getting ready to do what they wish to do, we have some cash door prizes. We have all kinds of good things here. We are going to do cash and fudge. Bayview, $25, and Alameda fudge. Let's have Mary Lou draw the name. Okay, let's see. Who do we have here? Who do we have? Margaret Butchman Garcia, are you still in the room? Ah, oh, she's not here. Lisa Cushman, are you in the room? Yay! All right, Lisa. She's here. I'm still munching some of my own. Roger says, I'm still here too. He says, what about me? Oh, and he's fudgeless. Okay, why don't we do another? All right. Okay. I'm going to let you know we still have one cash prize left, and we are going to do that at the end of the session. So we will go ahead and do wind chimes and a bag of fudge. Wind chimes are from San Bernardino chapter, and Alameda fudge from Katrina. Oh, I love that fudge. Mary Lou will draw the name. Who do we have? Gail Cross? Crossen? Oh, Gail just left. Joseph Lopez, where are you? All right. I knew he was still in the room. How about we do one more? Okay, why don't we do a bottle of wine donated to us by, Cindy Aguilar donated the bottle of wine to us. And we'll do, how about a chocolate bars? Chocolate bars. And the chocolate bars are from the Silicon Valley chapter. So, and Gabe is all choked up over here. I don't know what he and Jeff were up to. Oh, not this time. Lucille Sims, are you in the room? Uh-oh. Rob says there might be cash in that bag. Oh, Mary Lou spotted it. Rob, thank you. So we're going to have two cash prizes left. We're going to have two cash prizes left. Pamology. Okay. You know, I love that. Wine and chocolate. Okay. All righty. Do we have any committee chairs who wish to give some committee reports? I know the scholarship committee was going to give one, and Artis is here. Okay, let's have Artis with membership first.
Okay, as chair of the CCB membership committee, I'd like each chapter to make sure that you have two representatives on the membership listserv. And if you're a new president, particularly within the last year, please contact me and let me know who you'd like on that listserv. And we'd also welcome anyone who's really interested in membership issues to let Donna know, because we're looking for more members for our committee. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Okay, right now we're doing... let's have... Robert, are you ready to do the scholarship?
Yes.
Okay, let's have folks give their reports. If you have specific questions for committee chairs, those I will take. We will... save comments for the end of the committee reports. Oh, you do have a membership question? Okay. Okay. So let's recognize Warren for his question specific to membership.
Test. Okay, there. I do have a membership question for artists. Do we have registration numbers for the convention, this convention?
No, we do not. Peter is counting and tabulating and all that good stuff. So we don't at this point. So thank you. Jeff.
One for artists too.
Jeff has a question.
Artis, I would like to sort of look around to see if I can find, I'm giving a comment at the beginning to sort of explain my question, to sort of see if I can find someone in our area of the state for membership. But would it be possible, and I don't mean necessarily the second, but to put out something that would sort of define what some of the possible issues and plans you want to work for a membership, so that if we're trying to find somebody for your committee, we can tell them, you know, what types of things you hope, you and your committee hope to do. Great, thank you.
Yes, one of the things that I am going to ask all chairs to do is come up with a statement. And Jeff was right along the lines on that, and I want that to be done by all committees. And we should, my goal is to have something up, and I'm being generous, 3 months at the latest, because I think it's important that we have that out there, so that folks can go to something, and if it interests them, they can contact the chair and ask more questions. Thank you. Any other membership committee specific questions? Who seeks the floor? Pam Pology. And let's get you a mic just a sec.
Oh, I was just going to say that at your convenience, I would give a committee report. That's all I was going to say.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Any other membership questions? Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let us go to Robert Wendt, who is our CCB Scholarship Committee Chair. Robert?
I'll make this short and sweet. we're in the, just so everybody knows, we're in the process of trying to develop a system that's much more objective, that will also give students some specifics about what we'd like to see in the applications. And I think it'll make it much easier for the students to then respond in their personal statements and by providing appropriate materials. We had 9 applicants this year. 3 of the applications were incomplete, so we ultimately ended up giving 6 scholarships. And thanks to Active Blind, they assisted us greatly in providing the scholarships this year. So. If you ever get a chance to say thank you to them, I'd really appreciate that. If there's any questions, I'll take those.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Robert? Artis does. Okay.
Actually, it's more a request, I guess, than a question. Would it be possible to put on your scholarship application page or something like that, maybe a thank you to the Active Blind? Because I think maybe if we do more of these thank yous on our website and materials, it might give a reason for other organizations to give donations to various projects of CCB.
Okay.
That is such a good idea.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's possible, but I do think it's a great idea.
I think what I would like to see is the scholarship committee work on something like that, but I also plan on putting thank you into effect related to Active Blind and other donors. So that's a great idea.
Okay.
Any other questions for scholarship committee chair? Okay. Robert, thank you so much. You have a wonderful, good working committee, and you know, you're doing some great work, and I want to thank you for that. Okay, if we could get the microphone to Pam Pology, please, for her committee report as our credentials chair.
Thank you, Donna. First of all, I want to say thank you to Steve Fort for serving with me on the committee, and all of his assistance and patience with me, and all you guys' patience with me. And I wanted to especially thank Ed, because without Ed's assistance, I wouldn't be able to be placed in this capacity as non-technological as I am. And Ed has just been diligent and above that in communicating with me anything that was going on with changes or communication from chapters. And I couldn't have done it without Ed. I really couldn't. And I wanted to say that, if I'm not mistaken, the next convention is 158 days away. April 11th. And so that means, if I'm not mistaken, that the credentials are due by February 25, 2013. So keep that in mind, you guys, so you know nobody's late. And just one more thing, if you guys have sent in your credentials report and there are changes that you're aware of prior to the convention, please call me, 626 area code 445-7297, and give me the changes ahead of time so that I'll have them and our credentials report will go a lot more smoothly. And I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
I know, here it comes. I know it'll come. There we go. So our credentials chair has already given you the date for when credentials are due. So it was verbalized. No, I think that's fine. I think it's a good thing, you know, to mark it in the calendar. And I'd like to know if anyone has any questions for our credentials committee chair. Who seeks the floor? Linda Perel.
Hi, question for Pam. It's a little arithmetic issue. You said February 25th to April 11th didn't add up to 30 days, I don't think.
45 days.
45 days. Well, then it does. Okay,
it's
thank
in
you.
The-
That's a, it's 45 days now. Just for spring. That's
okay,
helpful.
Okay, what is the, yeah, for the Constitution.
All right. Now that I happen to have the microphone, may I do some committee reports?
Does anyone have any more questions for our credentials chair? Okay, thank you so very... Folks are saying, and I don't have the Constitution in front of me, so I'm not reading it at the moment, and I'm old and can't remember everything anymore. So if I didn't have it in front of me, and our Constitution chair said, it's 30 days. Okay, we're going...
30 days prior to the Friday of the election, someone is saying.
Roger, for our spring convention, are credentials due 30 days before or 45 days before the start of convention? That's what Pam was saying,
wow.
Yes. Okay, wow. Roger basically said that there is something in the Constitution that states 45 days for spring. She did her homework. All right, Pam, everybody's clapping for you. She keeps us on the straight and narrow. Any other questions for our credentials chair? All right, let's go ahead and give the microphone over to Linda Perel.
I have it in my tight little fist. Anyway, okay. I'm going to give two preliminary reports for my two new assignments. First, team, thank you. I understand, of course, that Donna, early in the summer, put this idea out, and a number of people said they'd like to help but didn't want to chair. I'm going to find out who you are. And you will help me. So that's team, thank you. I think we're going to have a lot of
fun
with
this. Can we please have order?
Okay, the natives are getting restless.
We do have cash, yeah. You know.
Okay. Now for the publications committee and my, I'm about to make a kind of a lame comment that my seatmate has already told me that I shouldn't make. It's interesting. The publications committee, I think I have a fairly steep learning curve. It's an excellent committee. They've worked well together for a very long time. Some of them have clear fiefdoms within the committee of what it is they do, and I'm grateful for that and expect to learn from them. What I'm amazed by already is we have all of this wonderful modern technology that's supposed to make our lives easier, and yet it adds to the complication of getting our publications out properly to everyone in the organization. So I want to learn all I can about that and help to smooth out the wrinkles even a little bit. So that's my first goal for that committee. And thank you for to the members who were at the meeting on Friday afternoon. And thank you particularly to Mike Keithley, who wrote me a long email the very next morning outlining all the wonderful things he does for the committee. So that's my report.
Okay, let's get a microphone to Roger Peterson for a question.
Thank you. First of all, I want to apologize for not being at the Publications Committee meeting, but the Constitution Committee meeting is at the same time, and I don't know how to be at both. But also, I understand that a question came up about what sources or what publications articles are eligible for awards, publication committee awards, the issue-oriented and lifestyle articles, and it is my recollection, and I think you'll find in the previous articles we've written, that other articles besides those in the Blind Californian are eligible. It's just that the Blind Californian articles are automatically kind of in the running, whereas to be eligible for consideration, an article from another source has to be nominated by somebody, because we wouldn't know where it was if it weren't. Thank you.
And that question probably came up also before I was in the room. I got there late. So any other questions?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Who seeks? Is that Jeff?
Yes, yes. Okay. Since I only ask serious questions, would it be fair to refer to our new publications chair as the CCB pub crawler?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh. So publications committee, we have pub crawler, web crawler, you know, all these things. Okay, any other questions regarding Team Thank You or the publications committee? Yes, Bernice.
A while back, in one of the...
Order, folks. I don't want to hear about Tavern on the Green.
Publications committee reports, the committee had been asked to come up with a document for the thank yous, and I don't know if that ever got approved or what the status of that was. Do you know what I'm referring to?
That was the publications committee, if it wasn't done under your tenure, it hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, I don't think. But it was a resolution that was
correct.
Referred to the publications.
The thank you
committee.
Resolution, yes. And if the document from that thank you resolution did not happen during your tenure as chair, then it still has not happened. And we absolutely will get back on that, and thank you very much for the reminder that our secretary will make sure is in the minutes, because I read those to help with the reminders. And it will be revisited, most definitely. Any other questions? Okay. Linda. Yeah, we... And I'd like to know who your seatmate is, by the way.
My fellow board member and partner in crime, Mr. Wendt.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
And his better half and Ms. Pamela Metz are the cheering squad, and we're having a good time back here.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Linda.
I'm in charge, though. All right. I want to say very clearly that I will resist efforts to, what's the word I want, to homogenize and make one thank you document. I really, really want, I can think about thank you guidelines, but I really, really want thank yous to be personal and specific and, just... I have real concerns about having a Hallmark card thank you document. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is that Pam over there? Okay. Any other questions for Linda? See, Linda, you're the chair of Team Thank You. So however you wish to yourself and, of course, also, gee, conveniently, as chair of the Publications Committee, you guys can work to do what it is that needs to be done. So you're in the perfect seat. And then, there needs to be a group put together, specifically to that resolution, working group, inclusive of the, what I recommend is that you would convene a group with yourself as chair of publications, chair of the awards committee, and we will definitely talk as far as if other committee chairs should be included in that start, and then we'll go from there. But that's first steps. Before we go to the next committee report, I want everybody in this room to give a good loud round of applause for our new audio folks, Ronnie and Brooks. They've been great. I hope that some of you have had a chance to meet them. We are very, very, very fortunate to have them here at convention, and they've just hit the ground running, literally from room to room to room. So thank you to both of you for providing this service for us. Okay, if we could give the microphone to Ms. Pamela.
It's Pam, I'm not mad at anybody.
Pamela, I know she doesn't like it, that's why I did it. All righty, folks.
Good morning, you guys. I'm chair of the Domestic Violence and Hate Crime Committee, and one of the things that I am working on for the spring, I've already mentioned this to Donna, is cross your fingers, we might end up having a self-defense class. I'm working with Guido, and it is a real Guido, too. He is based in Pasadena, but he works with the blind and visually impaired all over the state. And what he's trying to do is find me a trainer in Sacramento so there will be no charge. So cross your fingers. I'm going to have a conference call sometime in January or February. So I'm letting my committee know this. And if anybody else is interested in helping this committee out, give me a call or email me. And okay, my email address, can I give it? Okay, it's P.D. Hill. And everybody in this room, forget this number. 1958, forget it. @gmail.com. Okay, I'm going to say something right now. I would love to help Linda out on the publications committee. So if she wants me, I'll help her. Otherwise.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Pam? I don't know. We have to deal with that peanut gallery back there. And when Pam said Guido, Peter came and, you know, said no relations. So he remembers. He's Guido Pardini. Okay. Let's have another door prize. So what we're going to do first is we are going to do from Silicon Valley Chapter, chocolate bar, and $25 cash, and a San Bernardino wind chime. Packet of three. Let's draw. I will draw. Penny Frazier, are you in the room? Oh, you know what, folks? Tell everybody that we have some good stuff happening at the business meeting besides the regular business. Dirk Neihard, are you in the room still? Yay! Okay, before I recognize the loud one, that's true. Which one? There are lots of them. The loud one that I happen to love and live with. So, if folks need to leave the room while we're having, you know, while we're finishing up the meeting, leave your badges on your chair, and you know, we will go ahead and get them. We definitely will collect them. So,
that was my question.
And what Ed says is, thank you, Ed. What Ed says is that saves us $200 a convention when you turn them in.
Here, Ed.
They are expensive. See, we're working on getting you those exact figures whenever we can. We heard you yesterday. And if we get talking badges, Roger says they'll cost even more. Okay, Mitch.
Actually, that was my question because I'm leaving to have breakfast at 11 o'clock, I've decided. With or without you.
With or without me. I was hoping you'd go have breakfast.
I thought I'd give it till 11 o'clock.
He gets grumpy when he's hungry. Okay. Oh, Peter says that's just right. When he's hungry. Okay. Do we have any other committee reports? Okay. Hearing none. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask if anyone has any announcements or any public comment, anything they'd wish to share. I'm sorry, wait. Roger, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Roger. Thank you. I'd like to actually, Roger reminded me. See, I need you up here. Gabe and Jeff are way too far away, and Roger helps me better. Okay. Any other business? Is it related to? Okay. The dates.
Just asking for the dates of the convention.
Okay, the dates of the convention are April 11th through the 14th, and it will be held at the Sacramento Arden West Hilton. Thank you, Bernice. Yes. Any other business, or shall we move to comments? Oh. Thank you. Okay. Our treasurer, Guido Pardini, has an announcement he'd like to make.
Yeah, basically, if you've not had a chance, we have coffee in the back of the room. I'm not
No juice. Coffee. Okay. So, who seeks the floor? Dirk Neihardt.
I am delinquent in not bringing this to the proper person, but I have from the Northern California Kathy Skivers Fan Club a cash prize honoring her recent birthday. And with that, a dollar bill to send her a happy birthday card. And so if you want to get that $40, just pick a name, please.
So you are donating in Kathy Skiver's name a $40 cash prize?
Yes.
Ah, as a door prize. She is, Roger said that's because she's more than 40 years old.
I hope she heard you say that, Roger.
Well, that's why I had to repeat it, because if Daryl has her online. Okay. Well, Dirk, I thank you, and why don't we go ahead and do that drawing right now. And Dirk, do you have the cash at this point? In your hand. Oh, Dirk. And Mary Lou went right over there to Gabe Griffith. Gabe Griffith. Guido, our treasurer, Guido Pardini, has instructed his secretary that he should donate it back to CCB because he knows the fiscal situation, and Peter is laughing and chuckling over here. Gabe says his personal situation isn't much better. Oh, da da da. Mitch said his treasurer wouldn't like it, and Gabe said my treasurer wouldn't let me come home. Do we have any other announcements or a public comment? And I is Charlene? Okay, Charlene. Remember, we have one more cash prize. So don't
yes.
go away.
Just as a heads up, please keep an eye out for it. The San Diego Braille Club is going to go to Laughlin in the first week of March. The final details were not put together before the convention. So keep an eye to the listservs and to the connection for all the details. And we will pick up in San Bernardino at the Metrolink station.
Aha. Okay, any other announcements? Who seeks the floor? Warren Cushman. Any suggestion? The mic's coming to you.
Okay, yes, I do have a suggestion. One of the things I observed was when we had the dialogue about the one convention, One of the things that really worked was the real reach to the chapters, the conferencing that went on. There was really dialogue all around the state around that. And so, one thought I have is that as the president and the board and the principals go forward with the strategic plan, and as the board looks at the strategic plan, perhaps we might consider that sort of dialogue around the strategic plan. I have a lot of ideas around it, but I have a feeling that if we expand the dialogue through the conference call idea, through the BC, perhaps even convention time at a convention, that ideas may just bubble up from folks and we may get some really good thoughts out of it.
Thank you very much. Is that Steve Fort? Steve Fort?
As a Bavia chapter delegate, I feel duty bound to pose the following question. Conveyed to me in a voicemail after the third general session from Kathy Skivers concerning the constitutional amendment to go to one conference and convention. And the question is, given that we debated this issue in Fresno and a delegate vote was taken, and I think the answer is probably evident if one heard the live stream, and that was, why wasn't the delegate vote taken this time?
Because, Jeff?
No, it was overwhelming, the voice vote.
Well, I was trying to hear what you had said. I couldn't hear what you
okay. said. Okay, I was just saying that in Fresno, it went to a delegate vote because there was first a voice vote taken and the voice vote was too close to call. And so it went to a delegate vote. The vote yesterday was overwhelmingly in favor of yes.
And
I'm sorry. I hasten to add too that was my observation.
Yes.
As well.
Yes, and what Roger also stated is that's the customary way to do it. Is that what you said? Yes, it is customary first to try a voice vote. Is what Roger stated, and
right.
Because it was overwhelming, the rest did not need to happen.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
As a delegate, I felt duty bound to pass on, along, you know, any questions put to me by chapter members.
And Steve, I appreciate that, and I appreciate all of you. All questions are always welcome. That's the way that I've always been, and I appreciate the questions and all the discussion. And I appreciate the fact that for all of you who participated in the conference calls, in the discussion, it is out there. This is your organization, and you are able to stay as informed as you choose to be because everything is out there. So, any other comments? Tuan? Here comes the microphone.
Good morning, everyone, again. This is Tuan. I'm happy to let you know that at the conclusion of this convention, I will take a role as president of the CCB students. In the meantime, over the next year, I'll be working really hard on behalf of the students throughout the state. And pretty soon, I will post my information on the connection. If anyone would like to contact me, give me ideas, suggestions, comments, I'll be looking forward to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Mike Keithley. Mike, if you could stand.
Volunteer.
Ed's already there. Great.
the ALD receivers have been working
system is working exceptionally well. This convention, I want to thank everybody responsible. Thank you.
Oh, yay. Thank you, Brooks and Ronnie and Ed for helping with the adjusting at times, too. So thank you. Oh, we never said that. Absolutely not. Roger said that doesn't mean that, you know, we don't need more equipment. Definitely, there's always the need. And Mike, thank you for acknowledging that. I'd like to conclude before I draw the cash prize with thanking each and every one of you for making this convention what it was. I wish to thank all of our committee chairs and committee members. I also want to encourage those of you who wish to serve on committees to contact me and, you know, let me know of your interest. We are going to have a busy year plus ahead of us, and it's going to take each and every one of us to make all of this work. And I had to chuckle because I turned to the right because I thought someone was taking some of my fudge. I also want all of us to give a huge round of applause to Mary Lou, who was everywhere. You know, she had roller skates too, running all over the place. Yes. And I am not sure if Christy Green is here still or not. And I want to let you all know that I want all of you to give a big, huge hand for Christy Green, who was on-site volunteer coordinator. Well, hold on, I'm not done. Now, Mr. Ed Branch, we definitely need to give a huge thanks to Ed because he was running around doing double, triple, and quadruple duty. So everyone, let's give a huge hand to Ed Branch as well. Yes. And of course, we had volunteers here from the Junior League, from the, from Delta Gamma, from Pioneers, I believe. We just had, and we did have, you know, people who were, you know, not affiliated with any organization through Volunteer Match who came to us. Artist was overseeing that for us. Charlene Ornelas was the person who hooked us up with the gem of Christy, and we want to thank you as well for that. Yes. And I wish to thank the San Diego chapter and the San Diego Braille Club for such wonderful hospitality. And I also would like to thank each and every one of my board members. Oh, Judge Sumowski, where are you? Where are you? I want to thank each and every one of our board members for not running away when they realized the work that we have ahead of us for the next year, and for stepping up by example to those who weren't chairing committees, to people who have chosen to take on a chairmanship. I want to thank each and every one of you in advance as well for a great year that we're going to have in the future. Thank you. And in closing, I would like to thank my wonderful husband, who probably went out to breakfast. Because, yes, what he said was, I needed to meet him in the restaurant because he wants to make sure that I get something to eat before we leave on the train. And so he's getting our table. But I really want to thank him because he's had a lot to deal with this year. While, you know, he's definitely recovered and is as loud as ever. But he's been, thank God, is what Peter said, yes. But he has been very, very attentive and patient and listening to me at times when, you know, I've had struggles because I care about our CCB family. And I want to thank him for that. And let's go ahead and draw a cash prize. We have Alameda Fudge and CCCLV cash. So let's see, $25 in cash. Roger says, here I am. Well, let's see, who might this be? Courtney Allman, are you in the room? All right, let's see. Who's next? John Gasper, are you in the room? Oh, I saw him earlier. He's not here now. Okay, who's next? Helen Carnes. She's probably with Tom. Michael Martinez. I know he probably left already. With Junior Blind of America. Oh. Evelyn Drury, are you in the room? Oh, she left. Let's see. Anthony Signorello, are you in the room? They left. Irene Nunez, are you in the room? Yay! All right, and on that note, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? I have a second. Do we want to discuss it? Say bye to ACB Radio World. Meeting adjourned. See you in the spring. Thank you.